From Springfield, this is State Week in Review, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
We're not here to try and get to a bidding war. We just want both states to put the best foot forward.
I'm a big champion of let's make sure we take from other states as opposed to other states taking from us, and this would be another opportunity for us to accomplish that.
We are going to move we're going to move up to 100 people from our Decatur operation to a new corporate headquarters. So that decision has been made. Now it's just a matter of where to locate.
So to qualify for the credit, ADM will maintain at least 200 jobs at its new global headquarters, at least 100 of which will be new hires. ADM will be required to create 100 new jobs in Decatur, which will come from jobs being moved into Illinois from existing out-of-state operations or new positions. ADM will be required to hire at least 500 employees in Decatur.
We lost Office Max because the House didn't act and the governor didn't act. This takes leadership. If you're going to keep jobs in Illinois and retain jobs in Illinois, it takes leadership on the part of the governor.
Well, I certainly want to review anything that's being presented. I don't know all the details of those bills, so we'll take a look at everything.
Those are the sounds in recent weeks of discussions at the Illinois Capitol regarding tax breaks for companies, whether they were proposals for Office Max or Archer Daniels Midland. And then you also heard toward the end of that, Senate GOP candidate Bill Brady, candidate for governor, calling on Governor Quinn to hold a special session. Now, in the past week, Office Max has announced they had opted to move for Florida in light that no tax breaks had cleared the entire General Assembly. And also this week, the Speaker of the Illinois House came out with a statement saying we need to review Illinois' strategy when it comes to tax breaks for corporations. And we'll be talking about the tax breaks on State Week. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Our panel includes WUIS News Director Sean Crawford, Charlie Wheeler, Director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield, Amanda Venicky, State House Bureau Chief for WUIS and Illinois Public Radio, and our guest this week, Ray Long of the Chicago Tribune. Ray, thanks for stopping by.
Good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Amanda Venicky, as we're talking about this, if you could just give us a quick overview about what happened with Office Max and then the statement that came from House Speaker Michael Madigan this week.
Sure. So the legislature, when it was back to pass the pension overhaul, there were a couple of other bills and pieces of legislation that got some attention, and that included tax breaks for Office Max, now called Office Depot. Office Max had been based in Naperville, Office Depot, Florida based. The two merged. And so the two states competing to where the new home base would be, and Florida won out. Florida has given unspecified tax breaks or some sort of incentive to be there. And there'd kind of been a thought that maybe Florida would be had the better shot in the first place due to some long-term leases that had been signed there. Nonetheless, Illinois trying to make a bid to compete. And that was one of many that got attention. Again, of course, Archer Daniels Midland, as we heard in the beginning there from one of its vice presidents, is based in Decatur, in a huge Illinois company, huge for Central Illinois as well, but wanting to move its global headquarters out of Central Illinois into a more prominent city where their executives can, you know, hop on a plane, travel the world, what have you. And looking at Chicago, but looking at other places as well, those were, again, the biggest mentions, but there were also companies like Univar. That's a chemical distributor that was looking, is basically coming to Illinois, but said, hey, we want to get in on this too. And so all of those are what supposedly led House Speaker Michael Madigan to issue a statement. I did speak with his spokesperson, but not Madigan himself. He just issued basically a letter to the press and to the public saying, quote, "We must resist the temptation to cave to corporate officials' demands every time they impose a deadline for payment in exchange for remaining in Illinois and end the case-by-case system of introducing and debating legislation whenever a corporation is looking for free money from Illinois taxpayers." And he went on to say that he thought that was sort of a corporate pay-to-play, that it is unsettling and worrisome, And that furthermore, many of these companies, and this really seems to be a direct hit at ADM, whose executives have talked about not necessarily always having to pay Illinois state income taxes, saying that it's these corporations are basically getting free government services and they're not paying for them. So really taking a swing at all of the this whole system in general. I will add, and this is something that I'm sure we can discuss more of, but the speaker, of course, has presided over the House when different corporate tax breaks have been given. So it's not to say that whereas he issued this statement, he most certainly has been aware, even in the recent past, and it is under his power that some have gone forward.
Ray Long, why the timing, and why did the speaker come out and say that this week?
Well, I think one thing is clear. This comes in a pathway that was made by the exit of OfficeMax from Naperville. If there had been a victory and Illinois had won this war with Florida, then I doubt you'd see too much coming from Speaker right now. But he was taking a lot of criticism for not even calling the bill for a vote in the House. And so you've also got this other thing that's been happening. Majority Leader Barbara Fulton-Curry has been talking about having more disclosure for these big companies to get a handle on which ones actually pay big taxes and actually pay no taxes or little. And so these two things are coming together. You put it together, and in the kind of highly charged language that Madigan used, he went back to an old Democratic playbook where we have class warfare. We have the little guy losing money from the big tax increase that he imposed. He didn't add that part. But then you have the big corporations that are actually looking for tax breaks, while Joe Lunchbox, the middle class, is actually getting hammered by the taxes in Illinois. Then after I did this story, Amanda did this story too, what came into my email box was, here's Madigan talking about taxes when he's a big tax lawyer, goes out and gets tax breaks for companies all the time through his law firm, property tax breaks. And so there's a little bit of disingenuous feeling out there.
Now, the Senate did approve tax breaks like for ADM, in part because it has a Democratic member who represents that district. But Madigan did stay away and intentionally did not approve that. And when some of those concerns were brought to him towards the end of the session, he kind of just gave a cynical remark and a shrug about the company's desire for that. Is there anything that's going on between the House and the Senate that's causing this dispute?
Well, we're always trying to figure out what's going on between Madigan and Cullerton. Andy Bernard, of course, is this is a big deal to him to try to come up as a winner or look like a winner over the whole ADM issue, because he holds part of Decatur as in his district, freshman lawmaker from Bunker Hill. And so there's this internal war that's going on that you always wonder about tax policy between the two chambers.
Well, in this, the House has had a different approach in general, even to ADM and OfficeMax, and had an idea that brought back a satellite tax that basically seeks to impose a tax on satellite services as there is on cable companies. That's been debated and, of course, fought by the satellite industry that say it is not an apples-to-apples comparison. In his statement, the speaker said that he wants a process that values, quote, the jobs preserved and created instead of the tax breaks granted. And then, and this is what is significant, acknowledges that for every incentive given, individual taxpayers will have to pay the difference. And so that is, it seems to be where the House was going with, again, this plan. When you look back at the incentives that were given, this is really kind of the group that got the most attention to Sears and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, which of course the speaker took a back seat to because he is, again, this attorney that fights for property taxes. And supposedly, although he's never said you don't have to state why you're not voting, because of any sort of conflict of interest, but he appears to have one because he does work with the CME. Regardless, when that happened, that came at a time where also there was a tax break basically given through the earned income tax credit to to poorer individuals in this state. And so it's always these big time breaks have been paired with something else. Now Madigan's saying, no, we've got to pay for it. It's kind of this whole austere budgeting movement that is popular these days with the General Assembly after so many years of not going down that path. And so that may be something that we see more of going forward. Also, his statement is one, he's one of many that has said we need to have a more comprehensive view of this. Are we going to just go to every company that makes a threat to Illinois? How do you do this when there are all of these states competing? Of course, Illinois now looking to try and get Boeing to build a new plane here, as are many other states. Illinois did do some work here and revamped what's now called the EDGE tax credit. And so that is available, and the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity director has said that he thinks that it is a great process. Nonetheless, it's clear that there is not a overall comprehensive strategy, and that's something that, truth be told, was supposed to have come out of after the Sears and CME tax breaks. There were a series of hearings that were held jointly between the House and the Senate, a bunch of revenue hearings, and they took a lot of testimony. Nothing really came of those, however, and so I think we're still waiting.
Yeah, I think I talked to Todd Mache, who's with the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. He's their chief lobbyist. And he was saying that, yeah, we believe that there ought to be some kind of revamp on the way this whole process goes, where you've got companies coming in and basically bidding for a deal from Illinois. But the thing is, Madigan has basically pulled the rug out from under the ones that were already in the process of trying to get these breaks, and this is the process as it is right now. So they're kind of caught in the middle.
Charlie Wheeler, from your vantage point, what do you make of this?
Well, this is an ongoing debate that that dates back even to the time when I was a reporter, and the Japanese automobile companies were starting to build production plants here in the United States, and various states were competing, and we fought like the Dickens, and we finally wound up with what then was called Diamond Star and Mitsubishi for a lot of different tax breaks. Later on, it came out that the Japanese auto industry had decided we're not going to put more than one plant in any state, and we're going to try and put them in as many states as possible so that we have political influence with congressmen from those particular districts. I would say that in the case of Office Max, Office Depot, that was pretty much a done deal. The name of the new company is Office Depot. Office Depot has more people in Florida, in Boca Raton, than Office Max had in Naperville. There, as Amanda said, there are already contracts down there. And as a matter of fact, the guy who is the head of the new corporation lives down there. So I figured there was little chance of them coming up here. ADM moving out of Illinois might be a different situation. Despite all the rhetoric about how high the taxes are in Illinois, several of the states that were mentioned are states that have graduated income taxes, and the tax rate on the upper brackets is higher than it is in Illinois. And I'm assuming that the top honchos at ADM make more than $15,000, $20,000 a year. So if they go to, say, Missouri, they'd be paying higher taxes on the excess. If they go to Minnesota, they'd be paying up to 8% on their individual income tax. But I think the point that Madigan makes, that we look at this more rationally and figure out how to improve things in general, one of the things that we could do that I think would really spur job creation would be to change our workers' compensation laws. If you talk to business, much more than the corporate income tax, because as was mentioned already, something like two-thirds of corporations have no corporate tax liability legally, but they all complain about workers' compensation. They have to pay higher workers' compensation insurance rates in Illinois than they do in most of the surrounding states, than any of the surrounding states. That in itself, changes in the workers' comp laws, would be a huge benefit for our business climate.
You're listening to State Week in Review. Just ahead, that pension legislation in Illinois may have launched a better deal on the bond market.
Support for State Week in Review comes from the Illinois State Bar Association, whose activities include proposing and shaping legislation, educating the public, and supporting the courts and the rule of law. Information at IllinoisLawyerFinder.com.
Our panel on State Week, Charlie Wheeler, Sean Crawford, Amanda Venicky, and the Chicago Tribune's Ray Long. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Before we get to pensions, I wanted to touch on another point related to the corporate tax breaks. It was alluded to earlier in the show that, once again, this brings up the discussion about making taxes public in the some of these corporations in Illinois. That has always seemed to me to be a bit unrealistic of a proposal, just simply because taxes historically, federally and at the state basis, have been kept private. Is this something that's more than a threat, Ray Long?
Well, they'd like to see that happen. And there is some logic in the idea that we ought to see how much these companies are making when they come in and plea for tax breaks. So when lawmakers make a tax policy, they'd have a better idea of what they're talking about and who they're helping and who they're hurting and who's already benefiting from the current laws. So it'll be tough, the bottom line is it'll be tough to do because that kind of exposure to a business's bottom line and their tax policy is almost anathema and will be fought tooth and nail.
And I will add here.
Some of that information is available, although not with great specificity, in the filings that publicly traded corporations have to make with the Securities and Exchange Commission. That's, for example, how people were able to discover and write about what ADM's total corporate tax liability was for the federal government and for state governments and what their profits were in the last year. And that's true for most publicly traded companies.
Okay. You know, I actually was just going to kind of wanted to touch base on that as all of this is going on. So the corporate tax break disclosure or tax payment disclosure, the tax break situation. This is, again, as Charlie, as you talked about in terms of workers' comp, all these are issues that have been festering for quite some time. And yet again, I think you see an issue where Illinois is faced basically playing defense instead of offense. And the ADM, you look at, for example, what a loss it would be. This is about 100 corporate jobs, but it's headquarters of a major company and would surely look bad for Illinois if Illinois were to lose ADM despite any of the jobs created in Decatur. And ADM, there was some thought that the decision was going to be made by the end of the year, and therefore that was really why the House and Speaker Madigan got a lot of flack for not having taken any sort of vote when it was back in session in early December. ADM just says that a decision is coming soon and has not really, at least publicly, fed into that backlash. But I do think that we have, for example, this is where at the top of the program we heard from Senator Bill Brady and Governor Pat Quinn, bites from each of them. Brady, who of course is running against Quinn for governor, or at least trying for the Republican nomination so that he can have a second shot there, is saying that he wants the governor to call the General Assembly back in so that it's not a repeat of Office Depot. That may or may not have been a done deal, but nonetheless, Illinois didn't, you know, try in that regard. And before Illinois loses out on ADM to do something, you've had the governor who, prior to the pension vote, said that he wasn't going to even consider it, something that a lot of individuals, Brady himself, but plenty, said that they didn't think that was an appropriate response on the governor to have tied some of these controversial tax break issues to the pension issue. But nonetheless, that was the stance that the governor took. Since that time, we haven't heard from him either way. Didn't get any sort of response. I know when I called his office asking about, all right, so lost Office Depot. What about ADM? What's next? And the governor hasn't made any sort of stance or approach to that. So I think that that is something else that we're going to have to watch. And it really depends on when ADM does come forward in this particular case. Comprehensive approach, maybe what Madigan wants, maybe what others want. But does Illinois have the time for that? And what will it mean for Quinn and his campaign? If yes, Illinois loses ADM, but also, sure, it looks bad to give corporate tax breaks, getting back to, especially for Democrats, at a time when you have just taken a hit to the retirement benefits of your traditional allies and, of course, union members.
Want to move on now. It's just been a week, a little more than a week, since a pension measure was passed in the legislature and then signed into law. But Ray Long, you're seeing that the state seems to be getting a better deal when it comes to borrowing money.
Yeah, they're paying less interest. They say about $20 million less over the course of a 25-year loan. They're taking out $350 million. It's a general obligation bond. It's basically borrowing to pay for construction of things like schools and roads and bridges and other transportation needs. So there is a feeling in the market that Illinois just doing something was a step forward, and it seemed to pay off in that Illinois bonds, which are always popular despite their low ratings, sold for a better price, and the state saved money. The markets, as I talked to an analyst, apparently were in the sort of shape that it actually was improving, or it was a better deal than you could have gotten in prior markets too, because the current market is not even as good as it was in April when Illinois was doing a higher rate.
Yeah, and Ray, I mean, I even though they may have saved some money right now, were they really getting ripped off that much earlier? Because it seemed like they were doing okay on some of the bond sales that have happened, even when this pension issue was not resolved.
Well, you know, that's the deal. The rates, when the rates are low, Illinois does well anyway. But talking to Treasurer Rutherford, who another guy who wants to be the governor of the state of Illinois, he said that if we had AAA bonds, then we'd be we'd be saving $70 million more, so a total of $90 million better than in April. But the idea is that it's been a while since Illinois has been at that AAA rating, but you know, it just kind of shows you that other states that do have better ratings are able to borrow money at a cheaper rate. What's that mean? Well, you know, it means that the average taxpayer is not having to shell out money for nothing.
Well, it occurs to me that as long as Illinois bonds are not rated in the junk status so that investors can go ahead and buy them, a smart investor would love Illinois bonds at a low bond rating. The risk of default is practically zero, and you're going to get a better interest rate because of the low credit rating. So some state that's rated AAA is not going to be as attractive because the interest that you're going to earn when you buy those bonds is going to be less. And as I say, the risk of Illinois defaulting on the bonds is virtually zero.
Now, when it comes to the bond houses and their views on bonds, so far I've seen that one bond rating agency with the state of Illinois gave it an evaluation of developing right now because they feel it's heading in the right direction, but they didn't actually improve the rating.
Well, yeah, I think you hit something there on the head, Bill, and that is clear that all three of the big credit rating agencies, Fitch, Moody's, Standard & Poor's, are not ready to jump and throw the ratings higher for Illinois. And one of the reasons is because they haven't seen the bottom line numbers. They want to see the actuarial reports to see how Illinois actually calculated the numbers that they came up with when they figure out the savings. And one of the reasons, don't forget it, the SEC slammed Illinois for bad counting earlier this year over the years in Blagojevich. So they have a level of skepticism that is justified.
Also this week, I wanted to make note, we had a longtime Illinois Republican who'd been the head of the Illinois Republican Party, Rich Williamson, passed away. Williamson, I guess, came onto the political scene to some degree back in the early 1990s, Sean Crawford, when he challenged, he was the Republican candidate when Carol Moseley Braun was running for her election seat in the Year of the Woman that they had back then.
Yeah, 1992, he was able to be the nominee, but he got defeated by Carol Moseley Braun. Still had quite a good career, though, in politics and in government. He served in a lot of diplomatic roles under presidents as things moved on into the Bush administration, certainly. And he was still a player even just up to last year. He was on the State Central Committee, and he was there when the state party elected a new chairman. It's the last time I had a chance to see him. So, yeah, quite a career. One of those guys that is well-known in political circles, may not be as much to the general public, but certainly his career has had a long one there.
We'll go now to notes from the field, and we'll start with Amanda Winicky.
Well, this was the five-year anniversary this week of the arrest of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. It was December 9th that he of 2008 that the FBI showed up at his door pre-dawn and took him in to get his mugshot. That is timely because Blagojevich's lawyers are now arguing their appeal of his conviction.
And Ray Long.
I can remember going through the campaign with Rich Williamson in 1992, riding through the suburbs with him, and just feeling that he had an uphill battle because there was a lot of momentum there going for Carol Moseley Braun, who had just ignited everybody with her big 900,000 watt smile and a fairly decent approach toward you know, her ability to do attack dog style fights, and she was able to pull it off, and boom, 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 she was able to take down Williamson without much trouble.
Sean Crawford.
Well, the State Board of Elections held its lottery this past week, in which they got the candidates in the order on the ballot for the gubernatorial race coming up. We had Bill Brady has won the top spot for Republicans. He will show up first among the four candidates, actually five candidates right now, who are running for governor on the Republican side. T.O. Hardiman bested Pat Quinn in that lottery, and he will be having his name above Quinn's on the ballot as well. So that's all because people who were in line the day first day of filing get in that lottery, and that's how that whole thing works.
Charlie Wheeler.
Well, we spent a lot of time earlier this year talking about concealed carry. The law passed. Applications will start being available on January 5th. The Illinois State Police this week unveiled a website for people who want more information about getting a license for concealed carry. It's accessible at the General State Police website, isp.state.ill.us. And there's a tab on the right-hand side that says Concealed Carry. You click on that, and you'll get all the information you need.
And that's all the time we have for this week's broadcast. Special thanks to our guest, Ray Long of the Chicago Tribune, also our panel, Sean Crawford, Charlie Wheeler, Amanda Winicky. You can get a podcast of State Week by going to WUIS.org, or if using a desktop or laptop, find it on iTunes by searching for State Week in Review. Production assistance for today's program provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.
You've been listening to State Week in Review, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week in Review is produced in the state capitol by public radio station WUIS. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.